book of Mark chapter 11, the Bible says in verse 22, "And Jesus answering saith unto them," say that with me, "have faith in God." Say that again. Have faith in God. Tell your neighbor, say, have faith in God. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't have faith in me. Have faith in Jesus. Amen. Have faith in God. It's all right to have confidence in one another. Amen. But how many of us, we got to put our faith in God. Amen. Put our faith. Don't put your faith in man. Man will let you down. But amen, it's all right to have confidence in somebody and confidence in their walk with the Lord and that they can get a prayer through to heaven. But we must have our faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. He said in verse 23, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," and you could say the word problem there, "be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith," somebody say saith, "shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Hallelujah. Let me read verse 24 one more time. Amen. Circle it in your Bible. "Therefore I say unto you, that what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Pray, believe, expect, and receive. Amen. Pray, believe, expect, and receive. There is, if there ever is a mode in the Word of God that you and I should have a pattern to go by, amen, I believe Mark 11 and 23 and 24 gives us a mode. I also believe that St. John chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, where Jesus said, "You believe on the works that I've done, greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified." Hallelujah. Amen. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's no power in the name Mohammed. There's no power in the name Buddha. I didn't hear many amens on that. I said there ain't no power in the name Buddha. Amen. There's no power in the name Hari Hari Krishna. No power even in the name Mary. Amen. I mean, she was a virtuous woman and found favor in the sight of God. But come on, raise your hand and say, I found favor in the sight of God. Not only that, I'm just like Mary. I'm pregnant with the Word. Come on, somebody say, I'm pregnant with the Word. Hallelujah. Now, we know that she birthed the Word of God. But at the same time, the Word lives in us. Jesus is the Word. If we're born again, I mean he's born again and you know it. If we're born again, then we know the Word of God is in us by his Spirit. Jesus said, I will come unto you again. I'm going away that you might receive another comforter. Amen. The Holy Ghost. Not a quilt, but the Holy Ghost. Amen. How many knows you have the Holy Ghost? I'm not talking about a goat hair feeling now. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You know that you know that you know that you got the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I remember a young man came to me one time. He said, Brother Rick, can you tell me if I got the Holy Ghost? I said, well, that's a good sign. You probably don't. I mean, if you got to ask somebody if you got the Holy Ghost, you probably don't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. You ought to know that you are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. The Bible says that when you pray, believe what you ask for, and you shall receive it. How do we believe? How do we pray, and how do we believe? Amen. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. We believe by going ahead and getting excited about whatever we're believing God to do. Start thanking him ahead of time. I mean, that's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Another way to say that is faith is thanking God for something before you ever see it. Amen. I had in my spirit all day to share my testimony. Brother Wright came up and he said, you know, can you share just a moment or two your testimony? I said, I'm going to share more than that, brother. Amen. I done been in my spirit to share my testimony. I said, that's a confirmation. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that God has got me here for a purpose. He's got you here for a purpose. I come to edify you, encourage you, build you up in the Word of God. Amen. As an evangelist, my job is to make you mad, glad, or sad. Help me, I hope I make you glad. There's probably been a few I've made sad and a few I've made mad. Amen, but I come to make you glad. I hope that you get glad. We ought to be glad, amen, because of who we're serving. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. There ought not be anybody happier than a born-again Christian. Amen, who has a song in their heart, who knows where they're going, knows in whom they trust, has had a revelation of the living God, has had an encounter with a God that is alive. Anybody had an encounter with a living God? Amen, we've had an encounter with a living God. No wonder we're excited. We're not talking about having an encounter with a statue. I mean, the children of Israel on many occasions turned from the living God and went and began to serve Baal, a statue. Amen. Different gods and different idols, and God would have mercy on them, and he'd send a prophet, amen, to declare the word of the Lord. He would, amen, send forth a word to bring them back out of their backslidden state that they might serve the living God, and God would have pity upon them and mercy upon them. Isn't he a merciful God? We serve a merciful God. Amen. Amen. In 1986, I was involved in a head-on collision automobile accident. I didn't know the Lord as my Savior. I'd gotten saved when I was a little boy, about 12 years of age, but I got away from God. I really believe Jesus came in my heart when I was 12 years of age. I went to a little Baptist church, and a pastor was preaching, "Hell so hot, I could smell smoke." I ran and slid under the altars. I was glad to be able to get saved, and I really believe Jesus came in my heart. He said that he would not cast us away. If we'll come unto him and repent, he will receive us unto himself. But as I got older, I mean, as we are a free moral agent, and God will not make you serve him. Amen. God didn't make me serve him. He wanted me to serve him, but I turned, just like the children of Israel. I stopped serving God. Amen. And I quit going to church. I quit reading the Bible. I got around the wrong crowd, got influenced with drugs and alcohol. Amen. But God, he never left me. I left him. God was always there wooing me. He was sending somebody across my path to witness to me, hoping that I would come back to him, that I would repent. Amen. And do my first works over. Amen. The Bible says in Jeremiah that he's married to a backslider. Amen. Thank God that he had mercy on me. And amen. I had a praying mama that wouldn't quit praying for me. In 1986, when I was involved in that head-on collision automobile accident, my left leg was pushed through my pelvis, broke my hip, crushed my right foot. My ribs were broken in my chest. One rib tore the aorta artery at my heart. My spleen was ruptured. My right lung was punctured. C5 was broken in my neck. My jaw was broken. I lost the sight in my right eye. I was pinned in my truck for nearly 39 minutes. All my blood spilled out in my stomach from the torn aorta artery and a ruptured spleen. They got me out of my vehicle, got me transported to Vanderbilt University Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee. And there I was pronounced dead on arrival by leading trauma physician, Dr. Kenneth Sharp, who still practices medicine at Vanderbilt University Hospital, which I just found out about 2 months ago that Dr. Sharp's just got born again, and he knows Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. But he pronounced me dead on arrival and was sending me to the morgue, and this is what he said. He told my mama, he said, "You know, I was sending your son to the morgue, but something spoke to me and told me to bring him back and do what I knew to do." They brought me back, put me in an operating room, removed my spleen, sewed up the aorta artery there at my heart. The aorta artery tore back loose the next night. They had to go back in and sew it up again. They gave me 124 units of blood. I got hepatitis, yellow jaundice, blood poison, double pneumonia all at the same time. Swelled up big as a barrel, 17 drain tubes, an 18th tube was a feeding tube that they were giving me 3,000 calories of baby food per day. Placed a brace around my neck, told my mom and dad they had to make funeral arrangements. There was no hope for me, but there were some other prayer warriors, my mother, my aunt, and my uncle, and they began to pray. My grandmother started praying. Amen. A lot of my friends started praying. They made casual trips, and some of them made, casual trips, but some of them made a determination to stay in the prayer room at the hospital and pray and intercede on my behalf. Thank God somebody will stand in the gap for you. There's probably people depending on you and they don't even know it. I was depending on people and didn't even realize it for them to pray for me. Amen. They would come in every 4 hours for 10 minutes and they would lay hands on me and anoint me with oil according to James 5:14. Any among you sick, call for the elders of the church and anoint them with oil and lay hands on them and pray the prayer of faith. Amen. There's a lot of Christians in this world, but it don't mean everybody can pray the prayer of faith. Amen. The prayer of faith has no ifs, ands, and buts in it. Amen. The prayer of faith is not pouring oil on somebody and say, well, I hope you get better. Ain't no faith in that. I hope you get better. I hope God does something. Perhaps God will come down and touch you. Amen. My Bible tells me that whatever you desire when you pray, believe it. Go ahead and get excited about it. Go ahead and thank him for it. Amen. Jesus said you can have whatsoever you say if you believe in your heart and doubt not. My mama told the doctors, we're not making funeral arrangements. Jesus is going to raise him up from the dead. Thank God somebody had a moment of faith in my family. Thank God somebody had a ray of hope and faith in my family that not just had words but had actions with it. Amen. When the doctor's looking you in the eye and saying, you got to make funeral arrangements. And you're looking back in the eye and say, but you don't know who my God is. You don't know the power of my Savior. I serve a God that can raise the dead, open the eyes of the blind, let the lame walk, cure diseases and sicknesses. I serve the great physician that by his stripes he's already healed. My mama was telling the doctor that. By Jesus' stripes he's already healed. Well, isn't that the Bible? 1 Peter 2:24, that by his stripes we were. Somebody say were. By his stripes we were healed. Were is past tense. Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes we are healed. Or Isaiah saying, we're going to be healed when the Messiah comes. Amen. He's bringing restoration and healing in his wings. Peter said, I've done got a glimpse of Calvary. I'm looking back to Calvary. By his stripes we've already been healed. We're just waiting for the manifestation of it. That was my situation. Amen. They eventually, after, you know, so many days, 25 days there, they rebroke my bones. They placed a steel plate, 9 screws and 2 pins in my left hip. They accidentally cut the sciatic nerve in my left leg. They placed a steel rod and 9 screws in my right foot, removed 3 bones out of my right foot. They placed a steel plate and 2 screws in my jaw. My neck was healed right in front of their eyesight. They had 3 x-rays showing it broken. Then they had 3 more showing it not broken. Because one of the believers in my family, my uncle, went out to his garden and was praying out there. And he said, God, I just pray that you'd heal his neck. And I don't guess anybody else thought about that. But he said, I pray that you heal his neck. I count it done. His neck's no longer broken. He said the Lord spoke to him, said, I've just healed your nephew's neck. Amen. He ran into the house, got on the phone, called from Alabama to Nashville, Vanderbilt Hospital, got a hold of one of them unbelieving volunteer workers. Said, I'm calling about my nephew, Richard Madison. Jesus just said his neck's no longer broken. You're calling about who? About what? What's not broken? Just get the word, and got him transferred to the intensive care. Got a hold of my aunt, which was his wife, and said, he said, God just told me his neck's no longer broken. And it wasn't but just a few hours after that, they was running some CAT scans, and they found out my neck was no longer broken. God healed my neck. Amen. Wouldn't be paralyzed. God spoke to my grandmother. And she was saying, Lord, I realize that you can do it all at once. And I'm seeing you do something. You're moving for him. But why don't you just do it all at one time? Anybody ever ask God that? Amen. He said, I'm well able to raise him up immediately. But I'm doing it in my time. And I'm allowing his body to go through some types of healings. Actually, after God raised me up, he began to teach me about the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There is one of the gifts is called the gifts, which is plural, gifts of healing. The other is working of miracles, also plural. And he began to teach me the difference between a miracle and the operation of gifts of healing. When healing takes place, sometimes it is a process of time. Miracle is instantaneously done. You can see that if you read out of the King James Version Bible. I don't know about them other 27 translations. But in the King James Version, in the book of Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says that Jesus is on his way to, raise a little girl up from the dead. And the Bible says that on the way, a woman came behind him, around verse 20 through verse 23, touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says that she was made whole within the hour. I can't argue with the Bible. Amen. But yet right after that, he raised a little girl from the dead. Doesn't say it took an hour. Amen. Didn't say they saw the manifestation in 60 minutes. What I've learned from that is that God healed me numerous times, and sometimes I don't see the manifestation immediately. But I count it done already ahead of time. It's just like being born again. I know I'm already born again. I know that I'm saved, but I ain't got to heaven yet. I ain't got to heaven yet, but I'm going. Amen. It's just like when I'm praying for healing my body. I know I'm already healed because the Word says that by His stripes I'm already healed. I'm just waiting for the manifestation. I know I'm going to heaven one day. Amen. I know I'm going to get a glorified body when Jesus comes. At the same time, I know I'm already healed. I'm just waiting for the manifestation of it. And there have been times I've seen God totally restore my body, completely make me well. Sometimes it was within an hour. Sometimes it was overnight. Sometimes it's been 3 or 4 days later, but I was already thanking Him for it ahead of time. Amen. I was laying in a brain-dead coma for 27 days. Doctors told my family the third time my liver and kidney stopped working. They said, look, we've done everything we know to do. There's nothing else we can do. We're giving him every antibiotic known to man. I was swelled up the size of a barrel. My head was large as a basketball. My dad said my body was stinking and as hard as a rock. But there was three out of my family that was saying it don't matter what it looks like. God's going to raise him up. God's going to change his life. God's going to, you know, use him in the ministry. There were some even prophesying God's going to heal him, get him off of drugs. I didn't even know some of them knew I was doing drugs. Amen. That's what they were saying. You can have whatsoever you say if you believe in your heart and doubt not. My mama was praying, Lord, you said if I'm in the Word and the Word's in me, I can have whatsoever I will. Isn't that the Word? Maybe you're here tonight and you got loved ones and family members and they're away from the Lord. Maybe they're out there in a world of drugs or alcohol. They're full of anger and bitterness and strife and division. But you claim them for the kingdom of God. When Paul and Silas was in the bottom of that jail and they begin to praise God and worship Him and the cell doors opened and an earthquake took place, the jailer run in and said, what must I do, amen, to have the God that you serve? Amen. Paul said, amen, if you'll just repent and get saved, if you'll call out on his name, not only shall you be saved, but he'll save your entire household. Come on, raise your hand and say, I'm claiming my entire household for the kingdom of God. They kept coming in, laying hands on me and anointing me with oil and praying the prayer of faith and proclaiming that God was going to raise me up and change my life. And the only thing I can tell you is I had an out-of-body experience. I didn't know anything about having out-of-body experiences. But all of a sudden, I realized that I was walking through, only thing I remember the entire time from the time of the accident, I'm walking through a hallway, I'm passing doctors and nurses, and I'm getting close enough to touch them, but I can't feel them, and they can't feel me. I can see them, but they can't see me. They're still talking one another, walking right on, and it's like I passed right through part of them. I went into a little room where all of a sudden I saw several pews and an altar area just like this. And I saw my mama down on her knees praying. And I walked up and sat down on a front pew. And there my mama was on her knees and she was looking up, had her hands up. And she was saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, raise Rick up. Don't let him die lost. I believe you're going to raise him up and heal him and change his life. And I watched my mama pray for me. And I knew something was wrong. I just didn't know what was wrong. And I knew I had to do what she was doing. And I looked up and I said, Jesus, if you're real, now's the time to come on the scene and help me. Something's wrong. Thank God I had one more chance to call out on his name. Only reason, because of God's mercy. And immediately when I said that, I felt a hand come down and cover the top of my head, and that hand felt as large as this church. And all of a sudden I knew someone was behind me, and I wanted to turn around and see who it was, but the hand wouldn't let my head turn. And I heard a voice, and that voice said, I'm Jesus. I'm real, and I'm going to raise you up, give you another chance. Immediately, I didn't see myself walk back through the hallway. I was back in my body in the intensive care, and I set up out of a 27-day brain-dead coma. They told my family I didn't even have any activity on the lower lobes of my brain. They told my family that the infections was raging. They couldn't stop them. Immediately, infections left my body. Swelling went out of my body just like you put a pin in a balloon. Amen. I can bring numerous witnesses. I can get you in contact with family members. Amen. And you can ask them for yourself. I didn't know what I looked like. They told me what I looked like. Amen. And immediately, swelling left, infection left. I was no longer a vegetable, but I had a sound mind. Doesn't the Bible say that, you know, he gives us a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a sound mind? Come on, put your hand on your head and tell your neighbor, I got a sound mind. I got a sound mind. Praise God. I reached for the nurse at the foot of my bed. I wanted to tell her what I just experienced. You ever get touched by Jesus? Amen. You won't tell somebody about it. And I didn't care where I was or how long I'd been there. The only thing, only concern I had is I had to tell the first person I saw that I heard a voice and his name was Jesus. I was reaching for her, trying to get her attention. She had her back to me. She wasn't prepared for this no more than I was. She turned around and saw me reaching for her, and she screamed and jumped about 5 feet. Turned her paper over. Immediately, I believe God moved on her, and she won't know what I was trying to say. And I scribbled down on paper, is there a church here? She said, you're at Vanderbilt Hospital. You've been in an automobile accident. I wrote down, it's got red carpet and several pews, and my mom and dad's there praying for me. She read it, mom, dad, several. She said, I don't know what you're talking about. There is a prayer room on the first floor, but I don't know what it looks like. It's been a long time since I've been there. I scribbled down, I know what it looks like. I just came from there. Well, that really shook her up. And she was shaking more than I was and motioned for another nurse to take my vital signs. And she went down to the first floor, brought my mother and my aunt back from the prayer room. My mother and my aunt walked in, and they were holding each other by the arm. And when they came in and saw me awake, my eyes open, no longer swelled, no longer stinking. They saw me with my eyes open, their knees buckled, and I heard them say to one another, weeping, I can't believe it, God's really did it. They were saying it to one another, I can't believe it, God's really did it. And immediately I heard the voice of God, and he spoke to me, and he said, you know, that's just the way my people are. They'll ask me to do something, then when I do it, they'll say, I can't believe it, God really did it. First thing I heard God say was that, when you pray, believe what you ask for, and you shall receive it. I believe God would love to do a lot more things in our presence, in our sight, for our bodies and for our families, in our churches. Amen. How many knows Hebrews 13:8? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he changes not. He hasn't changed. If anybody changed, it's us. It's people that's changed. Amen. But to those that believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Somebody say all things. All things are possible. Amen. I don't understand folks that are Bible-toting Christians that don't believe God can do things he used to do. I mean, is it like he lost his power? I mean, if that's the case, he ain't God no more. I mean, the word God, G-O-D, represents all power. Amen. He can do anything. He's just waiting for you and I to ask him. The Bible said we have not because we ask not. Amen. The Bible says, and when we ask amiss. Amen. Praise God. But when we're asking according to his will, well, we have to know what God's will is. 3 John verse 2. If there's a scripture in the Bible to circle after you get saved, you need to circle that one. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. God wants you to go to church. He wants your soul to prosper. Your soul is your intellect, your mind. God wants you to get your mind renewed in the Word of God. Amen. He wants you to prosper. Amen. And that hinges on us being faithful in tithe and offerings. Amen. Malachi 3 said we rob God if we're not faithful in tithe and offerings. And we're under a curse. Amen. Praise God. He said, I not only want you to prosper, I not only want your soul to prosper, I want you to know who I am, and I want your mind to be renewed, have the mind of Christ. Amen. He said, but I also want your body to be healed. If Jesus did not want our bodies to be healed, if he didn't want to for us to walk in health, then he would have never went to the beaten post. He would have taken 39 stripes across his back in vain. Since he says he's no respecter of persons. People say, well, that was just for, you know, the Bible days. Bible days are still here. Amen. Well, that was just for those 12 disciples. That was just for those first 70 that he called. Amen. Well, that was just until the last apostle died. Well, may I tell you that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, amen, in verse 28, the Bible says that he gave first apostles, then prophets and teachers and pastors and governments, amen, the fivefold ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers are still here, which is operated by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is still here. If he ain't here, we can't be saved, because we can't be saved except the Spirit of God draw us. So if the Spirit of God is here to draw us, then the Spirit of God is here to operate in the gifts and the body of Christ, because Paul said in Ephesians 4, the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers are for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the saints. Well, aren't the saints still here? We ain't got raptured yet. Amen. We need the work of the ministry. We need the edification till we all come into one mind, one body, and we're doing that. But at the same time, we still got churches on every corner, and amen, this one believes this, and this one believes that, you know, and this one don't believe that anymore, and that's taking that out. And amen, but when we get down to the Word of God, we have to take it face value and eat the whole book. Amen. I mean, even if I didn't know anything about healings and miracles until God raised me up. But once I have been enlightened, I have to walk in that. You know, the Bible said, if we're faithful in the little things, God will make us master over many. Amen. The Bible says, amen, that, you know, God is for us. And if God be for us, who could be against us? But it's almost like in this day and time, we're afraid to be a voice and a witness and stand out. I'm talking about the church as a whole. The church is afraid that they're going to have an encounter with somebody, or they're going to have a confrontation. Well, I wish God would raise up some more Elijahs that would call fire down out of heaven on Mount Carmel. Amen. And say, let God be God. Amen. You call on your God, and I'll call on the name of the Lord, and we'll just see who answers by fire. John said, I'm baptizing you with water, but there's one coming after me that'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Ask your neighbor, say, you got any fire tonight? I'm not talking about a big lighter. I'm not talking about a pack of Marlboros. I'm talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost, praise God. God wants you and I to be so full of the Holy Ghost, walking and talking and breathing Jesus, becoming a living epistle, that when we get around, cancer has got to disappear. Devils have got to tremble, not because of who we are, but because of who's in us. Amen. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Do we really know who's in us? Amen. Do we have a revelation of the power that is in us? Know you not that the kingdom of God is within you? Glory to God. Once I got a hold of that and got a revelation of the name of Jesus, it changed my life and everybody around me. Some of my own family members hated to see me coming. Here he comes again. Here he comes again. He's going to talk about Jesus. Going to talk about the power of God. Amen. I love talking about Jesus. Amen. Praise God. If we're ashamed of Jesus, he'll be ashamed of us. Amen. When I set up out of that coma, the doctors gathered around my bed. And they were saying, you know, I had a lot of willpower and a lot of stamina. And I wrote down Jesus on a piece of paper. I had a notebook that I wrote down on for a little while until they took the tracheotomy out of my throat and I could push against that and speak. And they changed it different sizes, brought it down. And one time they said, you may never be able to speak. But they'd take that thing and it was big as, big as round as this bottle. Top right there in the beginning, and they kept making it smaller. A tracheotomy kept making it smaller and smaller. And finally, they just put a patch over it, and I could push against that. My mouth was shut, and the first words I said was, "Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Hallelujah!" The doctor said, "Look, your body's addicted to morphine. We've given you morphine every 3 hours for 33 days. We're going to begin to wean you off of this. We're going to give you 75 milligrams of Demerol and 50 and 25 and Percodan and Tylenol 4, 3, 2, and 1. And I wrote down on paper, Jesus raised me from the dead. I'm not addicted to medicine. And he read that and he chuckled about it, patted me on the head, says, going to be all right. We're going to take care of you. And the nurse came in an hour and said, doctors, change your orders. No more morphine. No more shots. We're going to put liquid Demerol right into your feeding tube. And I stopped her, wouldn't let her give me anything. Argued with her on paper. I don't want to. Showed her the note. Jesus raised me from. Because I'm laying there thinking, you know, I don't want no more cocaine. I don't want no more Marlboros or Cool Miles. I don't want no Budweiser. I don't want no Jack Daniels. I don't want no Canadian Mist and 7-Up. And if I'm free from that, I'm free from morphine. Amen? I mean, that's what came to me. That's what I thought. Childlike faith. Amen? Didn't even know the Bible, but I believed in the name of Jesus. 5 days went by. I didn't allow him to give me any medicine. The fifth afternoon, the doctor walked in. Dr. Sharp brought two of his friends in. Introduced me to them and introduced them to me. They shook my hand and he said, now, I've just flew them out. I paid for their flight. I just flew them in from California. I went to college with them. We're very close friends. I told them about you. He said, I flew them in here just to look over your charts because they couldn't believe what I was telling them. He said, and now, while we're here, I also noticed you hadn't had any medicine for 5 days. And he said, son, we gave you a glass syringe full of morphine every 3 hours for 33 days. He said, if anybody was addicted to morphine, you were. He said, I've never in my profession seen anyone come off the amount of morphine we gave you without being weaned off of it. I remember what you told me, that Jesus raised you from the dead. You weren't addicted to medicine. He said, I've come to tell you, there must be a God in heaven, and he's watching over you. Hallelujah! He said, your neck was broken. It's not broken anymore. I can't explain that. He said, you were consumed with infection. We couldn't kill the infection. You had all kinds of different types of diseases raging in your body. They're gone. I can't explain that. He said, you was a vegetable. I told your mama you'd have to remain in a nursing facility if we kept you alive on machines. He said, we've asked you questions. You've communicated on paper. You seem to have a sound mind. He said, I've never in my life seen anything like this. And I grabbed that and turned back a few pages where I wrote down Jesus and showed it to him again. It's all about Jesus. It ain't anything I've done other than believe in the name of Jesus. He said, we're going to let you go home. We only keep sick people around here. And I grabbed him and wrote down, but I haven't walked yet. And he said, well, that's another story. You may never walk because we waited so long to repair your broken bones. And he said, then after repairing your broken bones, 25 days of waiting, he said, the bone specialist accidentally cut the sciatic nerve into your left leg, and that's why you don't have any feeling in your left leg. May take 8 months to a year before actually you get feeling back in your legs. And he said, we had to take 3 bones out of your right foot, and it may not be able to support your weight, but you're a living miracle. Be satisfied with that. They shook my hand and walked out of the room, and I laid there thinking, why should I be satisfied with that? You know, it amazes me, people get saved and satisfied. God don't want us saved and satisfied. He wants us saved and sanctified. Amen. Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I just begin to believe and pray, God, you're going to get me out of this bed, out of this wheelchair. They brought my family, after 49 days, came in there. The nurses put a hoist under me, swung it around, set me down in a wheelchair, lifted it out from underneath me, rolled me out the front door, waved goodbye with a $200,000 hospital bill and no insurance, a $2 million bill. I was being sued by the people I hit head on. And Jesus said, if you'll go around and tell people about me, I'll take care of all this. I'll wipe out a $2 million lawsuit. I'll wipe out a $200,000 hospital bill. You won't ever have to worry about it. Amen. I'm telling you, God did that very thing, put zero on the computers at the hospital. Amen. Wiped out a $2 million lawsuit I was being sued for. Amen. I lost my air conditioned business. I was praying about it. I said, God, you got to get me in back, get me well, get me back in my air conditioned business. He said, I'm putting you in a new business. I said, what kind of business is that? He said, I'm putting you in the witnessing business. The witnessing business? What kind of business is that? He said, I want you to go around and tell people about me. I said, tell people. I said, I can do that, Lord. I can tell people about you. I'll go around. And I picked up the phone, started calling people long distance, telling about Jesus. Wasn't even thinking about the phone bill. Just want to tell people about Jesus. Amen. And I was in a wheelchair, and my aunt and uncle came and got me after my mother. I stayed with my mother 4 weeks, and they came and got me, took me to their home, took me to church. They started carrying me to a church of God. I said, I ain't church of God. I'm Baptist. They said, it don't matter what you call yourself, God's looking for true worshipers. Isn't that the word? Amen. Amen. John chapter 4, the Father searches this earth for true worshipers. Yes. People that'll worship God in spirit and truth. He don't care what the name of the door is. No. Hey, amen. You can call yourself anything. He's looking for somebody to raise holy hands without doubt and without wrath. He's looking for somebody to praise him and worship him and not be ashamed or embarrassed. Amen. He's looking for somebody to call out on his name. Looking for somebody to go to the hospitals and pray for the sick. Looking for somebody to go around and tell somebody that he's alive and well. The tomb is empty. Amen. We serve a risen Savior. He's the God of the living. He's not the God of the dead. I go to some churches and I think, dear God, you sent me here to raise the dead. There ain't nobody praising you. There ain't nobody worshiping you. Can't. I mean, you go to some churches and raise your hands and they look around like, what do you want? What you need? You need something? Amen. I love getting around somebody that ain't embarrassed to worship God. But I used to be there. I was embarrassed to worship God. But it, you know, it took getting around some folks worshiping God to help break that mold. I wanted to praise God, but I was concerned about people looking at me. But eventually, I got over that. Amen. I don't care what people think about me as far as worshiping God. I mean, yeah, we watch our life and watch our testimony. But when it comes to worshiping God, if you look at the story of David and his wife Micah, you'll find out that Micah judged David for worshiping God. Did something very unusual. David began to take his cloak off. Might have took his shirt off. Amen. I mean, I'm sure he didn't get plumb naked, but he got a few clothes off. And she said, you're just doing that to be seen by all the young maidens. But she didn't know his heart. He was doing it unto God. Amen. And, you know, it's a dangerous thing to point the finger at people when they're worshiping God. Are they in the spirit or not? I found this out. When people ask me, well, do you think so-and-so was in the spirit? I try to say this. I don't know. I had my eyes closed. I was trying to get in the spirit for myself. Amen. Hallelujah. If I'm less concerned about you and more concerned about me, I believe I can get in touch with Jesus. Amen. Praise God. And so I'm sitting in a wheelchair 8 weeks after leaving the hospital, 10 weeks after they rebroke my bones, and I'm praying. And I have some resources, and I'm looking at the Bible, and I'm reading, how do I receive my healing to get out of a wheelchair? I don't believe God wants me to stay in a wheelchair. And I started having dreams and visions, going to sleep, reading the Bible, wake up, reading the Bible. Amen. My aunt and uncle was carrying me in a wheelchair to these Holy Ghost churches. And they went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. And they went Friday and Saturday if I could find a place to go. I mean, where I live out in the country, ain't nothing to do but eat and go to church. I was thinking, God, hurry up and heal me so I can get back where there's a bowling alley, where there's a movie house, where there's racing, where there's something to do. All of a sudden, I begin to see some scriptures where Jesus said, if you'll get a little taste of me, amen, he that tasteth of me, if you'll drink my blood and eat my flesh, you'll have life in you. You won't care about all the other things of this world. If we'll ever get a taste of Jesus, it'll take the place of all the entertainment in the world. We don't need more entertainment. We need to get more in the anointing. We need to be in the presence of a living God more than what we need. Praise God. But I was learning this. It was all new to me. But I was sitting in a wheelchair and I was praying. Mouth wired shut. Jesus, put feeling in my legs and I'll get up and walk. Jesus, put feeling in my legs and I'll get up and walk. And I heard a whisper, arise and walk. I knew it was Jesus. I mean, the devil telling, he was already been telling me, you ain't never going to walk. Don't nobody love you. You're an embarrassment to your family. You're a burden on them. They're having to clothe you and feed you and change your clothes. That's what the devil was saying. But Jesus said, arise and walk. All of a sudden, I had a Peter experience. You know, when he was walking out on the water and he began to look around and he began to sink. That's what I began to do. I began to think, Lord, I can't walk. I don't have no feeling in my legs. And all of a sudden the Lord said, you don't walk by feeling, you walk by faith. Walk by faith. I said, how do you walk by faith? I don't know how to walk by faith. What do you mean walk by faith? He said, I mean just to stand up and believe and walk. Say you're going to walk, stand up and walk. Immediately I had a choice. Sit there in that wheelchair. Maybe in a year I might get up. They told me maybe in a year you'll walk with some type of walking apparatus. A walker, arm crutches. All of a sudden I could act on the word of God. Whatever you ask, believe in your heart. Lord Jesus, I said, I'm going to stand up and walk in the name of Jesus. And then that corner moment hit me. And if you let me fall, I'm going to go all over the world telling everybody, you let me fall. I had God all of a sudden. In my mind, I thought, oh, I got him now. He can't let me fall. He don't want me to go around saying nothing bad about him. Aren't you glad the Bible said God winks at ignorance at least once? Amen. I guess this was my once. Maybe it was more than one. But we know that God said he would wink at ignorance once. Amen. You know, you put God in a box, he's coming out. And there I was. I locked the wheels on that wheelchair and I stood up. Got dizzy, was going to sit down. And all of a sudden, I believe God pushed me. Made me go forward. All of a sudden, my thought was, I'm falling and I can't get up. Lord, help me. And I started running through the house, grabbing a hold of nothing out here, trying to keep from falling. Broke out in a hot flash. I just knew it looked like the floor was going to come up and I was going to just bite the ground. But I got to that doorway and I never did fall. And I'm standing there and I'm praying and I'm thanking God. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord, you let me run. I didn't walk. I ran out of a wheelchair. And I started saying this, Lord, I'll never doubt you again. You're a miracle worker. I'll never doubt you again. Then I looked around and saw I was about 30 feet from my wheelchair. I said, oh, God, get me back to my wheelchair. Finally got my feet turned around, and, you know, the Lord said, you know, I deliver people from things all the time, and they'll turn around and go right back to it. Isn't that amazing? John 8:36 says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. I leaned forward and ran back toward that wheelchair, grabbed a hold of it, and it slung me around. I sat down on a makeshift bed. And I heard my aunt and uncle come in. Now, they'd been carrying me to these true blue, red, hot, tongue-talking, devil-chasing Holy Ghost churches. And everybody and his uncle had been pouring a gallon of oil on me, praying for me, laying hands on me, prophesying over me, and I'm just wide-eyed as a bug. I don't know what's going on. All I know is these folks, they got something. I don't know what it is they got. I don't understand it, but I know they're alive. Amen. I know they got some energy and they're happy about Jesus and they ain't afraid of the devil. That's all I understood. And they was trying to give me some of what they had. Now, I didn't know how to get it. All I knew is they thought they'd give me some of it by pouring oil on me and laying hands on me. And I believe I began to get some of it. I just didn't know what it was called. I didn't know about the anointing. All I knew is I was in a car wreck. I woke up out of a coma. I'm alive. I'm getting better. I'm learning about Jesus. I'm learning there's power in my words. I have to believe what I asked for. I'm expecting God to do things. I don't even know what to expect next. Things are happening so fast. And all of a sudden, I heard my aunt and uncle come in, and the thought, go show them what I have done. And I stood right back up, and I leaned forward and went running. And I ran, didn't even think about it, run into the kitchen. My aunt turned around and I ran right in her arms, about knocked her down. And she let out one of them blood-curdling screams. Ah! Top of her lungs. And I heard her say, Lord God, Joe, grab a chair. This youngin's lost his mind. He grabs a chair. She's trying to push me down, and it's all I can do to stand up. I didn't want to be pushed down. I wanted to show him I was walking. And I started swinging my arms. I said, get away from me. You poured enough oil on me to grease a truck. You prophesied over me. You told me God's going to raise me up. Now that he's raised me up, you want me to sit down. Every day they tell me God's going to raise you up. It'd come by and I'd be sitting in a wheelchair. God's going to do something for you. You ain't standing in that wheelchair. God getting you out. They're trying to encourage me. Because I guess they could see different days I had battles, I guess, of some type of depression. There I am, I'm sitting there, can't walk, can't bathe, can't feed myself too well, can't get up and go to the refrigerator, you know, can't put my own socks and shoes on, and I lost everything I had. And, you know, I mean, Satan will battle with you in your mind. You know, you ain't going nowhere, and you lost everything you got, and you ain't never going to have anything. Amen, they kept trying to encourage me. Then when I got up and walked, I realized, you know, I'm on to bigger things. I'm going from glory to glory. Amen. I told my aunt, you know, I didn't have any control over my walking. I'd just get up. For the next 3 days, I'd just get up and take off running, run into one of them and grab them and stop myself. And I heard her tell my uncle, we got to do something. He's about to kill me. And they went and rented me a walker. And I used that walker for a little while, but you can't move fast on a walker. You can't get nowhere with a walker. Amen. I was praying, God, deliver me from the walker. But there again, gifts of healing was in process. A little at a time. Didn't have any feeling in my left leg. This one I moved, I believed it was there by faith. And then my mother came down, and I believe God spoke to her, said, take him a walking stick. I guess I told her, you know, I'm tired of this old walker. She brought me a walking stick. And I set that walker aside, and I had that walking stick. And I could walk with that walking stick. And I'd stand out there in front of my aunt's house, and I'd hold it up and look at the traffic passing by. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I guess, did you see that guy? That was a crazy man out there. I don't know what they thought, but I'm out there preaching to the traffic. Don't even know how to preach. I'm just telling folks to get saved. People driving by, I'm holding a stick. They probably thought, he's mad at somebody. I'm holding a stick up. Get saved, praise God. Traffic going by. And it's amazing. I had a little car out there, and I started driving it. And I'd put my sock on top of my pants leg with a real thick rubber band. And the car was a 4-speed. But I could pull up on my pants leg, drop it on the clutch, and pull it back. And I said, I'm going to go tell somebody about Jesus. And all of a sudden, them Bible-toting believers in my family said, you can't drive that car. I said, you told me Sunday I could do all things through Christ Jesus. Childlike faith. Amen. Just believe the Bible. Know that God's with you. And I started going around. I'd go into stores and buy bottles of water and Mountain Dew. And I, you know, just to tell them about Jesus. Because I found out they wouldn't run you out till they got you money. And so I was telling folks about the Lord. Picked up an elderly man hitchhiking. Took him 90 miles where he said he wanted to go. When he got out, he said, I left my walking stick on the side of the road. I don't have a walking stick. And I thought, now the man wants my stick. Done brought him 90 miles one way. Now he wants my stick. And I just felt compassion, you know, give and you shall receive. Isn't that the word? And I thought, well, I'll give the man my stick. I'll get me another. And I said, well, here, you can have mine. It means a lot to me. It comes from my mama. But I'll give it to you. Amen. He didn't seem like he was ashamed to take it either. He took it and smiled and went over. And he sat down on a suitcase in the middle of the yard. I said, aren't you going to go in the house? He said, no, I can't go in right now. And I thought, I have picked up a man that has escaped from Bryce's. Wasn't but 20 miles north of Bryce's when I picked him up. I said, that man's escaped. Because where I live, you hear somebody getting loose every now and then. And you're always looking out the window. Don't send them by here, devil, in the name of Jesus. I'll lay hands on them. I'll cast that devil out. Well, you know, I thought, this man's strange. But I got back home. And halfway back home, the Lord spoke to me, Hebrews 13:2. I grabbed my Bible, turned, and said, beware, at least you entertain angels unawares. I got excited that God may have set me up, that he might have been an angel. But what purpose was it? What's the purpose of this? Got back to my aunt and uncle's home, and I'm chasing through the house, telling about a man that might have been an angel. I'm on cloud 9, and I found out right quick, you can have a visitation from God, and everybody else don't get excited about it. Amen. I couldn't understand why they wouldn't be excited about maybe I had an encounter with an angel of the Lord. And all of a sudden, after about 15 minutes of chasing them through the house, my aunt stopped me. She said, my God, where's your walking stick? Where's your walking? How come you're not limping no more? And all of a sudden, it hit me. I didn't have a limp no more. I gave my limp away. Hadn't limped no more since then, praise God. God set me up to give that walking stick away. All things are possible to them that believe. Amen. I stepped off a porch and re-broke my foot. And I knew I was messed up. Went to the Vanderbilt Hospital. I was up in Tennessee. And hadn't been long. I'd been out of the hospital and up and walking. And they took a CAT scan, and it showed I re-broke that ankle. And my bone specialist was on call, Dr. Harper. And they paged him. He came. Dr. Marion Harper said, son, he said, you've messed up. He said, Lord, you've re-broke this foot. And he said, I've got to put a screw in the bottom of your heel up into your leg bone and dodge these other 9 screws. He said, I can't do that right now. I got to get another team of doctors to help me figure this out. He said, go to your, where you staying? I said, I'm at my dad. He said, stay there. Don't get on it. Lay in bed. You wait for my phone call. I'm not even going to put a cast on it. Maybe tomorrow, the next day, one day this week, I'll have you in for surgery. And we'll figure out what to do. I said, all right, doc, I'm going to go get in a healing line. I'm going to believe God to heal me. So I went and found a church immediately. Asked them, y'all believe in prayer? Y'all got any oil here? Y'all believe in anointing with oil? Y'all believe in faith? Y'all believe in healing? Oh, yeah. I said, I'm in the right place. I said, James 5 and 14, I need a touch from Jesus. I need a miracle. Everybody wants a miracle, don't they? Amen. Anytime I pray and ask God for something, I want it right then, don't you? I mean, we're in a microwave age. If we can't get it in 3 minutes, we're wondering what's going on. And so all of a sudden, this evangelist lays hands on me and he says, praise God, you're healed. Go ahead and thank him for it. Thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. He went to the next person. I put weight on that foot and pain shot to my brain. I reached over and got him. I said, you ain't through with me yet. Get back over here. He said, man, where'd you come from? I said, man, you told me I'm healed. I'm standing here in pain. He said, don't you realize by his stripes you were healed? I said, well, yeah, that's what the Bible says, but I need a revelation of it. He said, well, all you got to do is start thanking him for it, and you'll see the manifestation. I said, the man of what? He said, the manifestation. I said, all right, so what am I supposed to do? What are you telling me? Just walk around thanking Jesus. Walk around on a broke foot telling Jesus, thank you for healing me? He said, that's what I'm saying. I said, all right, I'm going to do it. You got a card on you? He said, yeah, I got a card. I said, good, I want it, because if this don't work, I'm going to look you up and punch you in the nose. That's what I told him. And when I started to leave, God spoke to me and said, what he told you was right. He said, if you just walk around thanking me for it, you will see the results. And he gave me a scripture. The Bible says, you know, in John chapter 6, when Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, turning into enough to feed a multitude, he thanked the Father for it ahead of time. Amen. When he raised Lazarus from the dead in John 11, the Bible said that he thanked the Father for it ahead of time. That's what he showed me. Just told me those scriptures. I limped around for 3 days. Hallelujah, I got in a healing service and Jesus healed me. Let me sit down right here. Hallelujah. And I went through the house for 3 days at my dad's house. I got in a healing line, Daddy, and Jesus healed me. I heard him tell my stepmom, you know, I think he's still suffering from that car wreck. That's what he said. He didn't know I heard it. And I'd say, yeah, but Dad, you don't understand. I'm walking by faith. I got power in my words. I'm learning things in the Word. Hallelujah. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. 3 days I limped around on a swelled up, broke foot that was blue and swelled up. Pain unbelievable. But I kept on saying it. I'm healed. Just like I said, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm healed. It don't take no more faith to be healed than it does to be saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Thank you for my salvation. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Thank you for my healing. By your stripes, I'm already healed. The 4th day I got up, no more pain in the foot. Swelling gone. No longer blue. Jumped up and ran in the kitchen. My dad was drinking coffee, fixing to go to work. I'm stomping the foot. Look at here, Dad. I told you, I told you, I told you. He said, Lord, God, don't do that. You'll break every bone in your foot. You'll mess up everything the doctors have done. What's wrong with you, son? I said, Daddy, you don't understand. This is faith. Looky here. Jesus is healed it. It's no longer swelled, no longer broken. About that time, the phone rang. I grabbed the phone. He said, this is Dr. Marion Harper trying to reach Richard Madison. I said, this is me, Doc. You ain't going to believe it. I said, I've been walking around for 3 days thanking Jesus for my healing, and I just now seen the manifestation. I put the phone down there and stomped the floor. I said, you hear that? That's me stomping the floor on that foot. You've done what? I told him again. He said, do you remember seeing a bone broke on the x-ray? He showed it to me. I said, yeah, Doc, I remember seeing a bone broke. He said, would you come back and let me take another x-ray? I said, I will if you won't charge me for it. I said, why do you need another x-ray? He said, well, me and 2 other bone specialists was reviewing your x-ray. He said, we turned around, we're discussing it, talking about it. We turned back around, and now we can't find a break nowhere on the x-ray. I said, look at that, Doc. He not only healed my foot, he healed your x-ray. Hallelujah. That really happened. That showed me the power in the name of Jesus. Power in our words. Power and faith. Come on, somebody raise your hand and say, I'm full of faith. Amen. Go on and confess it. I'm full of faith. I have faith. Faith without works is dead. But I'm full of faith. I'm putting faith in action. How do you put faith in action? You begin to speak it. You begin to declare it. Jesus showed them that principle in Mark 11 when he cursed the fig tree. Came back by and it was dried up from the roots. He was telling them, you got power in your words. Why is that? Because we've been created in the image of God. And when God created things, God spoke it into existence. God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. But when it came to the making of man, God said, let us make man in our image. But how many knows he reached down and formed man out of the dust of the ground? Breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. Why did he do that? He could have spoken and said, man, arise, and man would have rose up out of the dirt. But he didn't do that. He created man out of the dust of the ground. If he'd have spoke man into existence, man never would have failed. But man came from the earth and clay. That first man, Adam, was not able to bring in what that second man, Adam, was going to accomplish. That second man, Adam, Christ Jesus, amen, was not just a living soul, but he was a quickening spirit. Hallelujah. And now that you and I are in the image of God, we have power in our words. We have a creative voice. Amen. We're speaking and giving God something to work with. The Bible said to declare a thing, and it shall be. Believe the prophets, and thou shalt prosper. Amen. Give God something to work with. Without a vision, the people perish. I've got a CD. I want to play a couple of songs on it. I want you to stand all over the house with me. And I want to pray, and I want to believe God to minister to you tonight. If you have a need here tonight, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you'll call out on him and ask him to come into your heart. Amen. If you need healing in your body, we're here to agree with you. The Bible says any two agree on any one thing. That can't lie. God can't lie, can he? Any two agree on any one thing shall be done. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the midst of your people tonight. And right now, there's an anointing here tonight to destroy yokes. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you for what you're doing. God, we claim every loved one, every family member right here tonight. God, we thank you for causing us to prosper. Thank you for causing our souls to prosper. Thank you for a healing in our bodies, Lord. We declare it tonight. We speak it, Lord, that we're walking out of here delivered from pain and suffering and sickness. Arthritis has got to go. Blood pressure, high blood pressure, low blood pressure has got to go. Diverticulitis, eye problems, hearing problems, heart trouble. Every infirmity, we bind every infection in the name of Jesus. We come against every infirmity and even the spirits of infirmity. Loose your hold in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. Come on, give him a wave offering. Just wave your hand and say, yes, Lord. Whatever you believe in God to do, go on and thank him for it right now ahead of time. Start thanking him ahead of time right now. If you're believing for, amen, a family member to be saved, start thanking him for it. If you're believing for healing in your body, go ahead and start thanking. Whatever you believe in God to do, go ahead and start declaring it. Go ahead and start speaking it. Go ahead and start believing it by thanking him ahead of time. I'm going to open these altars. If you want me to pray with you and agree with you about anything, I want you to come. I want to agree with you. I want Pastor come here with me. I want Pastor Wright come stand here with me. We're going to pray and agree. Brother Clark's going to stand here with me. We're going to agree with him. Maybe you might just want to, amen, just come down through here, line up across the front. We're going to believe with you. Whatever you need God to do, amen, come and receive right now from the Lord.
If you've been washed clean.